How do John's famous words, "the Word became flesh," help us understand John's gospel? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on John 1:1 through 7:1. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or check it out at issuesetc.org. This new commentary covers the first six chapters of John. The Concordia Commentary on John by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Bill Weinrich. Well, next week, the Supreme Court, minus one justice, we should note, a key justice, Antonin Scalia, is going to meet to hear its first abortion-related case in nearly a decade. This case has to do, at least reportedly, not only with what abortion does to the child, that is quite obvious to anyone who thinks rationally about such things, but what abortion does to the mother has to do with the health of the mother. That's the bailiwick of the pro-choice movement, isn't it? The health of the mother. Well, is abortion healthy for mothers? It's a good question to consider, and where do the facts lie in all of that? We're going to be talking about this case as it prepares to be heard by the Supreme Court. Wendy Wright joins us. She's vice president of the Center for Family and Human Rights based in New York. Wendy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
Why do you think it's been almost a decade since the Supreme Court has heard a substantive abortion case?
That's a really good question. There have been a number of good laws that states have passed, but the court hadn't taken them up. But I will say how incredibly disappointed I am that now they have finally taken a really important case that we've lost. Justice Scalia, because he was a solid vote in favor of protecting unborn children and mothers from abortion. So I think that it causes many of us to pray even harder for this court to do the right thing.
Okay, we got to ask the Scalia question, because there's an empty chair among the nine justices there, and they're going to hear this case. How do you think that's going to affect things?
Yeah, anyone who can flip a coin, you'd have as much of a chance of figuring out as the rest of us. Now, we know that four of the justices are going to always vote in favor of abortionists. And that's really what these cases come down to. It's not women who are seeking abortions who are being represented. In fact, it's the abortionists who are the ones who are trying to knock down these regulations that are intended to protect women from abortionists. And so there are four solid votes on the court for the abortionists. And there are three pretty solid votes in favor of protecting women and babies. It's that last one, the eighth one, Justice Kennedy, that's a swing vote. He has gone back and forth on cases like this. And even now, with this particular case, it has to do with safety regulations, ensuring that abortion clinics are operating in a safe manner, or as safe as can be, when the whole intention of the place is to kill unborn children. The Texas legislation that's coming before the court requires that the clinics be equal in their building specifications to a surgical center, which makes a lot of sense, because that's in fact what is occurring in many of these places is invasive surgery. And even when the abortion clinics may just be doing abortion pills, women can still have complications, and that's why it's necessary to have equipment ready to take care of those complications. The second thing that the court will be looking at is the requirement that abortionists have admitting privileges to hospitals within 30 miles of the abortion clinic. Again, that makes a lot of sense, because if a woman is sent to an emergency room, the abortionists say, hey, anybody can go to an emergency room and the hospital has to take her. However, she's going to have a much better chance of having a good outcome if the person who was doing something to her that caused the action can explain that to the emergency room doctors, and they can explain what steps were taken and perhaps what measures were taken to try and correct the problem. All of that is vital information during an emergency. So these are really common sense regulations. How will Justice Kennedy vote on them? I don't know, because he's gone both ways on abortion cases in the past.
The Washington Post is reporting that one of the questions that the court will face here is when considering such laws that would regulate kind of in terms of the health access that would regulate and curtail some of, well, probably activity of abortionists. Do the courts have to look at the scientific evidence supporting those questions? Now, lower courts have concluded that they don't. And I wanted to know what you think, and to make the case that really the, these justices on the Supreme Court need to see the science.
Yeah, well, in this case, the Fifth Circuit said that the court should not second-guess a state legislature's view, and in this case, that the regulations are necessary to protect women's health. And so let's look at what our three branches of government do, and it's the legislative branch that gathers all the evidence. They're the ones that have the hearings. They're the ones that listen to both sides. They're the ones that invest a lot of time looking at the evidence prior to coming to a decision. Now, I think we all know that scientists rarely come down 100% on one side or another, and so it's really not it's really not the court's role to be referee when it comes to scientific or medical information, especially when it's the state legislators that are the ones who have done all the homework. So I'm really hoping that the Supreme Court justices will recognize the limits of their role as justices, as judges, and not go beyond it.
Some of the advocates for abortion that are chiming in on this particular law say that this really demeans women. Women know what they're doing when they go to get an abortion. Texas already has 24-hour waiting period and mandatory ultrasound and all this kind of stuff. And they say it's because they know that women are completely capable to face the moral and ethical ramifications of what they're doing. They don't need coddling or protection. What's your response?
Well, many years ago, I donated a kidney to a young man, and I certainly knew what I was doing, but I didn't know what all the kinds of complications could possibly occur. Anytime someone goes in for a medical procedure, it's good medicine. It's expected that the doctor and the healthcare provider is going to ensure that the patient knows what's going to happen and what the possible complications are, what the different outcomes will be. That's common sense. And yet, abortionists want to keep that information away from women. Now, they always present it as if, well, women know this. How can women just intuitively know something that it took people going through medical school to know? So it's a linguistic trick to try and claim that it's demeaning to women to say that women should be informed, when in fact what they're arguing for is for abortionists to have no restrictions, no limitations. What they're really arguing for are more situations like Kermit Gosnell, the House of Horrors abortionist who was found with dirty equipment and filthy abortion clinic. In fact, as it turns out, the abortion chain in this Supreme Court case, 4 out of 5 of its own clinics were cited dozens of times for violating safety laws, things like their abortion equipment not being sterilized, their suction machines being rusty, which can cause infections, holes in the floor in which rodents could come through. And there, some at times the trained staff was either absent or was poorly trained. So it's really rather stunning that this abortion chain would have the gall to stand before the Supreme Court and say that women should trust them when, in fact, they've proven they can't be trusted.
How do you respond to the concern of some pro-lifers who say, "Look, it's good to have regulation of the facilities, but emphasizing the impact on women instead of the child can fundamentally weaken the pro-life argument." What are your thoughts?
I think to be pro-life, we're pro-life for all. The women, the mothers, the fathers, the children, we want to protect innocent human life. And so we can't turn a blind eye to how these women are being treated. I mean, would we just stand back if a plastic surgeon, a surgical center that was doing plastic surgery was using rusty equipment? I don't think we would just say, well, that's their right to do it. But in fact, that's what abortionists are arguing, that it's their right to have unsafe conditions just to ensure that abortion is available.
Wendy Wright is Vice President for the Center for Family and Human Rights based in New York. We will post a link to CFAM under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Wendy, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Folks, I am certain that life and the vocation of motherhood will be addressed by Adrian Dorr-Heinz at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. She's going to be making the case for biblical womanhood. You can find out more about the conference right there at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also call Craig, 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference is going to be Friday, June the 10th and Saturday, June the 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's 15 miles east of St. Louis. It's $100 per person. That includes three meals. You can register at our website, issuesetc.org, the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris Rosebro will be our guest, and we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You know, they can't have it both ways. They can't talk about it being healthcare, being medicine, and then say, but we can have filthy clinics, we can have unsterilized instruments. They can't have it both ways. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.